Hello, everyone, and welcome back to M&A Today. My name is Warren Rose, and I'm a senior partner at Grosch Rose and Moore. And once again, I'm your host for the next 30 minutes, not only today, but every Friday at noon Eastern. We appreciate anyone who has listened live, downloaded our previous broadcast, and sent in questions. It's really great having you be a part of the show. Keep sending me your ideas, comments, and questions, and if I don't get to them live on the air, I will respond via email. The purpose of this broadcast is to not only educate and inform those of you within the industry, but to give an insight into the advantages of using a professional M&A firm for businesses within the middle market segmentation. Today's episode is titled Telehealth Solutions Are Here to Stay. The topic for today's episode came about because of some of the remarkable trends developing within the world of M&A. We've received an influx of clients within the telehealth, telemedicine, and remote patient monitoring industries. Although we just mentioned telehealth in the title for today's broadcast, in a few minutes, I'll talk about the difference between telehealth and telemedicine. So the fact is that patients are increasingly making decisions about who delivers their care and engaging in the delivery of that care digitally. Hospitals and health systems that are working now to increase the maturity of their telehealth capabilities will be well positioned to meet patient demands for digital tools that allow them to conveniently engage in care. Doctors, hospitals, and other type of care facilities that don't address these expectations increasingly will be challenged by a new market entrant and other disruptors that seek to attract new healthcare customers and encroach on existing patient-provider relationships. According to managed healthcare executive contributor, Dr. Stephen Andra, the spread of COVID-19 has caused an explosion in telehealth consultation and is catalyzing the use of remote patient monitoring thanks to an accelerated reimbursement from commercial and government health insurers during the pandemic. So look no further than statistics from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid that show telehealth business visits during the pandemic surpassed 11 million, and that was just through mid-September of 2020. Before CMS expanded coverage of telehealth for seniors in late March, there were about 15,000 Medicare beneficiaries a week with a telemedicine visit. The agency defines telemedicine as medicine or medical care, audio only evaluation, and management visits, virtual check-ins, or e-visits. Most of these visits were from rural areas before telehealth coverage was broadened as COVID-19 spread throughout the US beginning in March. These changes allow seniors to communicate with their doctors without having to travel to a healthcare facility so that they can limit the risk of exposure and spread of the virus. CMS Administrator Seema Verma said in March that clinicians on the front lines will now have greater flexibility to safely treat our beneficiaries. CMS changes to allow broader coverage has led to an explosion of Medicare telehealth usage with more than 1.6 million visits to providers by early April of last year to more than 1.8 million just by a week in May. As COVID-19 spread across the US, policymakers realized the importance of remote medical care, which became life-saving for millions of Americans that were unable to see a physician or have an in-person clinic visit during state sheltered in place orders. That brings me to my guest today, Harry Walls. Harry is a director M&A services for Grosch Rose and Moore, and extremely well-versed and connected in the telehealth industry and all associated categories. He will be providing insight and answering any questions you have regarding this rapidly changing facet within the world of mergers and acquisitions. Harry, thanks for joining us. Let's start out with you giving our listeners your take on what's happening in the telehealth and remote patient monitoring industries.
Warren, thank you very much for having me, sir. Hello, everyone. Maybe I start with a statement that I've read, Warren, that it kind of sets the tone for telehealth. But basically, the statement is that telehealth industry, because of COVID, actually matured over 20 years last year in 1 year. COVID, with all the impact that it has had into the healthcare world, actually forced us to make changes and to accept changes. We as a society, we know that sometimes that's very hard to do, but we had been forced to do it, and we had to do it, and we have done it. And it's changed. Telehealth is a lot. I'll kind of center some of my discussions about why telehealth has been such a challenge for many medical practices and institutions to implement some of the changes that we've witnessed in telehealth programs and offerings over the past year, and changes that we see coming, and also talk about reimbursements on the telehealth services. First comment I want to say is the hard thing about telehealth programs was people understanding. I'm talking about organizations, healthcare organizations, doctors, hospitals, clinics, understanding what is telehealth? What does that mean? Well, it meant a lot of different things, still does, but we're honing in on the fact that telehealth today is more defined in the sense of being not just virtual care, but today using the term to be in what we call connected health. There's more things that go into it. A major challenge of that is understanding all the pieces that a telehealth program might encompass instead of just having a doctor or a nurse practitioner or a nurse on one end of a telephone or a video call and a patient on the other end. There's the core areas of a good telehealth program, they consist of a strategic aspect. In other words, how are you going to measure the performance of your telehealth program, and what alliances do you have to offer strategic partnering? There's the clinical aspect of it. It's the offering that you have, and what are the outcomes? Are they good? Do they need to be improved? How quickly can patients see the outcomes from the clinical aspect? Obviously, there's a financial aspect. What's the cost of doing it? What's the profitability? Hospitals have been going through this. They've struggled with them. They're still struggling with them, but they are getting this aspect of it more and more under control because they have to. It has forced hospitals to watch their cost. It has forced hospitals to understand their cost. It has forced hospitals to focus more on the patient care in the sense of not having patients who are released from hospitals return within 24, 48 hours. There's a technical aspect of a telehealth program. You know, what support do you provide? How do you help those that are using it? All those, the strategic, clinical, financial, technical, they all come under the heading of the operational approach. You know, what services will be performed, how will they be performed, and how well will they be performed? And again, the goal in any telehealth program, no matter what you offer or how you offer it, is meeting what the patient, client, what they want, what they expect, and probably even more importantly, what they need. All those combine in, and yes, there is that underline, is it profitable? Is it cost effective? One of the challenges, and I'll go into some of the codes and all, was that doctors could perform telehealth services prior to 2019, and I'll tell you why I use that year, but if they had a patient come into their office and saw the patient, and I'll just use an analogy, the patient could needed to pay $50. If they did it via telehealth, the doctor only received $25. And yes, they are doctors. Yes, they are medical professionals, but there's also a profitability factor and cost factor that's into that. A lot of this led to introductions of what we call remote patient monitoring programs. Remote patient monitoring programs began to change a lot and become more conducive to the telehealth world, implemented more in 2019, mainly because CMS introduced a number of codes that doctors, hospitals could bill for and could be reimbursed for. Those codes were enhanced during 2020. And again, COVID was the catalyst that brought those codes on. Now, some of those codes have changed. Some of those codes were set to expire at the end of 2020, but have been extended. And you see a lot more now of remote patient monitoring going on. The devices are more sophisticated. There's an aspect to it where they have a family or and or friends aspect, meaning if a patient, let's say a person's mother or father, grandmother, or grandfather is being monitored via remote patient monitoring, those results can be captured. And they can be sent to a team or a care circle via text message, via email. A care person, a loved one, can be monitoring and actually see if their loved one, if say their blood glucose was high, they can be alerted to that, and they can actually call a doctor and say, do you know my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my grandfather is having this? So there's a lot of value in remote patient monitoring. Monitoring devices have changed. They need to be more along the order of cell phones. And you're seeing more and more remote patient monitoring devices on cell phones, the apps that we have today on those that we can use, and we can do a lot of the RPM or remote patient monitoring. It is truly becoming a patient first model, a patient active model, and encouraging we as patients to be proactive about our own health, not reactive. If you look at our society, we've mostly been reactive. We would go to a doctor and we were told that we had this or that, and we had to react by taking medicine. Now we're more proactive in trying to prevent things that we could be diagnosed with. So a lot of that has gone, a lot of changes have come about. And again, it goes back to the goal in telehealth being what the patient client wants, expects, and needs. And the key piece is the word, what the patient needs, you know, in doing that. So those are a lot, Warren, of, where I see the industry. It is becoming more acceptable for telehealth. It is focused on connected care, connected health. If you look back in our society, we actually had telehealth type services probably 20, 25 years ago. Those are audio services, but there was a lot done via audio conferencing that served the medical profession. Doctors, nurses were trained via audio classes from universities. Patients spoke to their doctors via conference calls. They may have their pharmacist on as a doctor and that. So if you go back 20 years ago, that's a lot how that was. And slowly video came onto the scene. Most of the video of time had to be on-site systems that a doctor would use. or a patient might have to go to a special facility to have a video call with a doctor at the time. Today, we don't have to leave our homes, our offices. We can log in to use Zoom, Microsoft Teams, Google Meet. We can use all of those things today. So video slowly came in through the 90s and has taken off tremendously in the last 5 years. I think Zoom is probably one of the biggest examples of that. Though today in the marketplace, there are a number of healthcare video platforms. Companies such as Caregility has a video platform program. You have companies such as GoPoint, which was basically a video conferencing platform for businesses. Now they've merged over into doing a lot in the healthcare industry. So you have several platforms like that are being used today. But again, we as older adults, we've been slower to accept video platforms, seeing our face on, whether it be a face-to-face on iPhone type call, or whether it be a face-to-face over a video type call. We're okay. We're better with it now. We understand it. We've had to accept it. We have accepted it. I will say in all of this, one of the areas where telehealth is being used quite a bit is in the behavioral health arena. Telehealth is being used a lot in the skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities. And today, with those combinations of skilled nursing, assisted living, and independent living, the term given to them is continuing care retirement communities. It's being used a lot. Warren, I think we'll see it continue to be increased, the telehealth usage, because the impact that COVID has had on all of us in America, all over the world, it's had even a stronger impact in the segment of our senior community, those in the caring homes. And there's, as I've read, a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder that's going to be dealt with, and that'll be done primarily via a connected health approach, which we term telehealth.
Great. Thanks, Harry. I'm really amazed by this whole topic, because this is such a growing force in our healthcare world that it's easy to identify that now and to kind of step back and see where we came from. I know you talked about the accelerated aspect of telehealth, and COVID had a lot to do with that. But this is really here to stay, hence the title of our show today. It's here to stay, and we just need to take advantage of it, not just get used to it, but take advantage of it as well. Hang on for a second, Harry. I want to go back to you in a couple minutes here. This is actually the portion of the broadcast where I get to tell our listeners a few things about our firm, Gross, Rose & Moore. We believe it's our client approach that sets us apart from our competition. First and foremost, we listen, and then we take that knowledge, leveraged by our experience and vast contacts, to create the right fit. We then focus on what is important to you, your business, and any shareholders. We also strive to conduct ourselves in a manner that makes certain everyone is treated fairly and equitably. Really, regardless of who you contract with and what they do, you need an M&A advisory firm that not only has the knowledge and experience to get things done, but understands and cares about your business goals. So if you're looking to buy, sell, consolidate, form a strategic alliance, get a business valuation, seeking funding, or just need a simple consultation, call me at 303-941-7865 or email me at wrose@grossrosemoore.com. I wanted to inject something, Harry, before we go back to you. You know this as well as anyone. We currently feature many telehealth, telemedicine, and remote patient monitoring offerings. And people can find the blind profiles on these at our opportunities page at groceroesmore.com. And you can pull up the blind profile, take a look at it, and see what's there. We even have some that aren't included on that page. So if you have any interest, get a hold of us. I kind of want to broach the whole investment case for telehealth as well, because even before the pandemic, there were a number of trends that we noticed where there was boosted interest in digital health companies. So those include everything from demographic disparities, population growth, an increasing number of older people, as Harry referred to, inefficient healthcare systems, and improving connectivity. The investment case for remote healthcare before the pandemic was centered around companies that were making healthcare simpler and more automated to add convenience for the consumer. And many of those consumers were older. So, as many medical interactions don't require in-person visit with doctors, this is going to keep going. And with the pandemic accelerating and what we've seen happening, now I know we've got all the vaccines and everything's happening, but we're not going to go back on telehealth. This is here to stay. And the use of telemedicine services, patients and doctors now have tried it and they actually like it, meaning that we may be more likely to adopt it broadly even after the whole pandemic thing has calmed down and we go back to whatever that source of normalcy is. So just adding on to what you said, Harry, if you've got anything else that you'd like to go over, I'd like to hear more from you. I also have in my pocket 9 areas which in telehealth we're expanding access that I'd like to touch base on.
Yeah, I'd like to add, and thank you, Warren. One of the community areas that has really benefited from telehealth has been remote or rural areas of our country. We are finally getting the broadband out there to have them to be able to implement and utilize telehealth services. So that's become extremely important. So many of our rural areas and rural hospitals were hit extremely hard, with COVID. And thank goodness some of them were able to utilize telehealth to get the support that they had, for those communities, there. Telehealth has taught us not to be afraid. We as older Americans, adults, we were afraid to see our face on television or on a screen. We were afraid to talk to about our medicines that we need, our medical history. We it's taught us to be proactive, to be better, to take better care of ourselves, to allow us to take better care. And it's okay. And we want to do this. It is here to stay, Warren. And it will just continue to grow. It'll continue to force us all to be more proactive. It'll provide ultimately better care for us, more continual, constant care. We know that care now is right at our fingertips and not just appointment based and wait till you get to an office. And so many people can't get to an office. We see that in the vaccinations going on with COVID. And you see companies like Uber and Lyft that are offering free rides to get our older adults and people from rural communities to areas where they can get that. So it's all a form of telehealth.
Yeah, and one of our clients constantly refers to that as serving the underserved. So mm-hmm. Some of the rural areas, some of the people that can't get out as well. I've even seen things happening at university levels and community centers and things like that, where there's more of a push for people to participate in things like this. So, and what I'd referred to earlier, the 9 areas in which telehealth is expanding access, this was unheard of, some of these a few years ago. I mean, telehealth One of the most frequent reasons that hospitals use telehealth is to extend access to specialty care. Other reasons for embracing it are efficient post-operation follow-up, lower readmission rates, better medication adherence, and positive care outcomes. By increasing access points and redistributing their expertise where it's needed, telehealth can address disparities and improve health outcomes from pediatric health services to senior care that Harry referred to. There are many uses for telehealth. Seven of the most frequently are noted by Manet Health, and they put this list together, so I want to thank those folks for doing that for us. The first one is pharmacy services. We're starting to see that, such as medication review, patient counseling, prescription verification. The next is chronic care management. This equips patients with home monitoring systems that record such vitals as their temperature, heartbeat patterns, pulse, blood pressure, glucose levels. All of these are logged in and kept track of. Another one is telestroke services used for those with acute strokes to create access to a limited supply of stroke neurologists and targeted use of therapies to preserve brain function and actually save lives. There's tele-ICU tools that provides 24-hour support for intensive care staff to provide optimal local care for the most acute patients. Then you have specialty telemedicine consultants. This is to address the challenges that patients face when accessing such specialty care services, such as, again, which Harry alluded to, transportation, eligibility, translation, cultural competency. Healthcare organizations are making telemedicine consultants available in everything from dentistry to geriatrics, gynecology, oncology, you kind of mentioned, name it. Next is diagnostic screening for diabetes. This is becoming more and more of a telehealth situation, and it needs to be. Also, they're addressing things like sleep disorders, telepsychiatry, even opioid use disorder. So just about everything you can think of now is being handled through telehealth and telemedicine. So it's important that we do embrace that. It's going to keep improving, and things are going to continually get better in that regard, and we'll keep getting stronger in the process and have more and more offerings that will be available to anybody that wants to take advantage of them. I actually want to thank Harry Walsh for joining me today. If you have any questions or wish additional information on any of the investment opportunities within the telehealth industry or anything that we spoke about today, please contact me directly at 303-941-7865 or email me at wrose@groceroasmore.com. Or even better yet, get a hold of Harry at 720-985-6576. Or email him at hwalls@groceroasmore.com. He'd be pleased to share more details with you, and you can find our contact info on our website. As I said, we're running out of time today, so I want to take a moment to thank our listeners for checking out what we've had to say and participating in today's program. Please join us next Friday at noon Eastern, where we'll continue to explore events and processes within our industry, and then provide you with valuable interpretation of what that means to you and your business. Again, keep sending in your questions to be addressed on the air, and if I don't get to them live, I will personally email you with the answers to your questions. Thanks again for listening to M&A Today. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next Friday at noon Eastern.